Sorry, everyone. I have been either on a call or coaching for the last couple of hours since I left Facebook Live this morning, but I'm here now. And let me pull up. If you signed up for coaching, go ahead and raise your hand. I have Lori, Kat, Brittany, and Kate. Is Lori Harshberger here first? I don't think these are in any kind of order. Brittany, you're going to go first. So if you signed up for coaching, just make sure you raise your hand, and then I will have you up here. Hey, Brittany.
Hi.
Let me, there we go. And then can you turn it the other way?
Yes. Give me one second.
Otherwise, I'll be like this the whole time.
I understand. I'm kind of doing that myself now. All right.
All right. So what are we coaching on?
We are, hold on, let me tighten this before I, So I wanted to be, I'm a June baby, so I'm kind of nervous.
It's okay. Everybody's always, hell, some people come on several times and they're still nervous.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll take a while. But I'd like to be coached on social situations today.
Okay.
Something, so this summer, I kind of committed to spending weekends at the shore with my family.
Okay.
My parents have a beach house that they've had down there since I was like 9 years old. So for over 20 years, I've been spending my summers down there. And the past couple years, since I've gained weight, I've kind of been avoiding it, like kind of embarrassed because these people that live down there with my family, like they've known me forever. They know my parents. And just, I don't know, I feel like uncomfortable and I get all these like shitty thoughts in my head about going down there. So this summer I was like, you know what? They're not going to have that place forever. I really want to take advantage to be able to like really appreciate it and appreciate my family and have a really good summer like I used to down there and just say, you know, like, fuck it to the I feel fat thing. And I wonder what people are saying about me. So I kind of made it my mission to like practice this, like just go down every weekend, try to get my routine down so that I'm going down and I come back and I can kind of seamlessly transfer back into my week. So one thing I'm finding really difficult is I have no problem like making plans, staying on plan, no problem overeating really when I'm with other people.
Okay.
I'm like a secret binge eater.
Okay.
So what'll happen is I'll be around all these people and, you know, we're having like conversations and whatnot. And then I come home from the whole weekend and I feel like it's this tidal wave of bullshit. Like, oh my God, I'm dissecting every single conversation I had over the weekend. Like, what does this person think about this one thing I said? And like, oh, how did that come out of my mouth?
So when you're there, what are you thinking?
When I'm there, at the beginning, I'm thinking like, I'm so happy to be here, spend time with my family. But I think the more I'm like around other people and like out in a social situation, I'm very aware of my size. And I'm starting to wonder like, what are people thinking about what I'm wearing?
So what do you think they're thinking?
Well, on one TDL I did, I kind of came up with this idea that like people think I'm disgusting.
Okay, so what if they do? They probably do. I mean, I'm just going to tell you right now, there's going to be plenty of people that think, sorry, my screen just like exploded with Finder windows. I don't know why, but something happened. But like, yeah, humans are judgmental. They better be, otherwise they're going to die. I mean, seriously, this is the way the human brain has to work. It needs to, like, when you're doing exactly what other people do, you walk into a social situation, your brain needs to know, I'm okay. The best way the brain knows how to do that is not to be like, let me tell you why you're okay. You're fucking amazing. Like, it would be pleasant if that is the way the brain worked. But no, this is the way the brain works. I'm going to tell you, like, she looks like shit. Thank God we don't look like her. Like, he's let himself go. Thank God I'm not bald. Like, that's what the brain does. It does it unconsciously and it does it automatically. The brain's job is to allow you to know where you are in the pecking order so that you're not at the bottom and the tiger eats you first.
Yeah. Well, I feel like my brain, when I think about it, I feel like my brain's trying to keep me safe.
Like,
well, they might think that, so you might just want to hold on to this just in case. But, like, it's not doing anything for me because it's making me, not making me, but it's like, I want to eat when I come home, my secret eating, my binge eating, to, like, cover it all up.
Right, you're binge eating because you want that peace to go away. You're not binge eating. Like, you wouldn't want to binge eat if you knew that that was like, yeah, that is just the way my brain is trying to protect me. There are people judging me. And you know why they're judging me? Because their brain works just like me. Hell, I judge me. I can't, I'm certain they're judging me too. But their judgment doesn't hurt you until you decide it's hurtful.
Yeah.
About this. If every single person, if you came into this room and there was 20 of us, and we were all like, oh my God, you're such an amazing tribe member. I saw you on your call and blah, blah, blah. But we all were like, man, that bitch, she's a binger. I didn't even like her glasses. Like, it was a mess. She started off with her call this way. Like, if we were all thinking that, you wouldn't be hurt though.
No.
But what you're doing is you're like inviting yourself into someone's brain, assuming that's what we're thinking, coming back into your brain, deciding that's wrong and that you can't handle it for some reason, then getting hurt and then going home and pretending that you're eating because of judgment. You're going home and you're eating because you're just escaping what you could be doing in the moment, which is like, yeah, they're probably judging me. That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the part I have trouble with, because I think about, again, I've grown up with these people, so like I know what they used to say about certain people who let themselves go, and I also get this weird shame, like I am embarrassing my parents, or I'm like bringing shame on my family, and it's been really hard for me to shake.
But why do you need to shake it, is my question.
I need to be okay with it being there and just kind of think it as normal.
Yes. So all of you collective, like, what are we doing? You all think we're supposed to like jump to a model where everything is rainbows and daisies, but we go home and binge because we're trying to feel really good about something we don't believe is really good. Like, you're trying to go into a situation where of course people are judging you, but trying to pretend like they're probably not, and that it's all okay. And all this other stuff. And then you're wondering why you come home and you need to binge, because there's like this dissonance. What's actually happening is you're going on these weekends and everybody is having all kinds of thoughts. You don't know what they are, but you're not in a space yet to pretend they're good thoughts until you can handle that. Some of them may think you're like overweight. Some of them may be thinking those things, but that's okay. Because the worst that will happen is I will feel a little shame. And the only reason why I feel shame is because I probably agree with them.
Yeah.
Not because it's a bad thing. And if I agree with them, then that means that I can do some work on me.
Yeah. I mean, that seems like a more proactive thought than I'm disgusting.
I would imagine that.
Yeah.
Like, rather than thinking I'm disgusting, you could just think, I keep thinking I'm disgusting.
Okay.
Why
like
would
the thought ladder?
It's not even the thought ladder. It's like, why? Like, I would want to know why I would even think that to begin with. Like, I wouldn't want to change
that.
Do what?
I think I know why I think.
Or tell me why. Because this is where we really get into the good stuff. Like, most of us want to think I am disgusting and we want to jump over to, oh, I want a thought ladder out of this. Rather than understanding, why would I think that to begin with? If I really understand why I think I'm disgusting, then I can work on that part. And then I'll never have to ladder at all. I can just solve the root of it. So why are you disgusting?
So I think, growing up, like my mother and my father have always been very serious about like maintaining a healthy weight and staying slim. And I remember back in high school when I went on this medication and I gained like 20 pounds and I was really skinny. I went from like maybe 110 to 130 when I was 16. And my mom freaked out and put me on this really strict diet and wouldn't let me eat what the rest of the family ate. So I think part of my like binge eating is also some like fuck you to them and that whole situation.
No.
No? I'm not rebelling against that?
No. You're binge eating because you want to eat.
Okay.
If it's rebellion against your parents and all this other kind of stuff, guess what you're going to, the only way you'll ever quit binge eating is for at some point your parents to go, oh my God, we're so sorry for everything that happened.
I mean, they have.
Well, then that didn't solve it, right?
It didn't solve it at all, no.
Yeah, so now we're not even rebelling.
Right.
Now we're just lying to ourselves about what's actually happening. Here's why I'm binge eating. I go home, food looks really good. It looks way better than what I'm thinking about myself in today's present moment. I'll eat that. I'll just get away from myself.
True.
It has nothing to do with your parents. It's a waste of time. It may have started things, but the reason why you eat today has nothing to do with that. The reason why you eat today is because you're not saying no to yourself. So tell me why you're disgusting. You never answered that question.
Oh, why I think I'm disgusting was thought about the question.
Either way, you think you're disgusting.
I just think it's because of there was this very like anti-fat like feeling growing up, and I kind of
go ahead.
I've heard like my whole life. I've heard my parents and their friends and what they said about people who are overweight, and I'm like, now that's me. And I'm realizing, because like my whole life, I was just like, this is normal. This is what you get when you gain weight. And now it's me. And I'm like,
so your problem isn't everything that's ever been said to you.
Right.
Okay, I just want you to understand that that has nothing to do with it. The reason why you think you're disgusting today is because you're like, oh, I'm thinking now that's me.
Yeah.
That means you are the one thinking you're disgusting. You are the one that's feeling bad. I just want to really point that out, because if you re-listen to this, you have a lot of, I'm trying to reconcile everything that I'm going through right now based upon my past. This is why it's all happening now. It's like, no, the reason why it's happening now is because you go and you choose to reconcile, I'm disgusting, that's me. That's Brittany's current opinion of Brittany. That's no one else's opinion. And this gets to be important, because what happens is that when you think it's like they've always said this and they've always done that, the only way to fix your opinion of yourself is to go through and find out everyone's true opinion.
Oh, right.
And you're not going to be able to do that.
No, I don't want to.
Right. There's one opinion we can fix.
Right.
Brittany's opinion. Everybody else can hang on to amazing or shitty opinions, whichever one they get and whichever one they have. But when you start raising your self-regard to where your opinion is really good about you, just as a person, it's like, you know, I know what they've always said. I don't blame them. That's the way they've been brought up. That is that's the society they live in and stuff. But thank God I think differently of me. I'd hate to go through life thinking that stuff. I don't do that anymore. Then it becomes very irrelevant. Then you get to go and you feel more comfortable while you're there. And you're not just trying to, you know, put a dress on a pig. Or what is it called? What is lipstick on the pig? Like, we're not like trying to do that. It's like, that's what you're trying to do. Like, say, I'm trying to go in, I'm trying to think all these magical unicorn thoughts when I actually think I'm disgusting, and I'm trying to feel really good, but I believe that I'm disgusting. That's who I am now. Become that. That's when
I think you really like struck a chord there. So like in owning that opinion that like that's my opinion now, because I'm a grown woman and I make my own opinions about myself, that gives me power back.
Yeah, it gives you power to work on the only opinion that you can change. So like knowing your true opinion of yourself right now, this is where we get into the magic of it. It's like it's not a shameful thing. It's not a bad thing. It's like, thank God I know. I've been kind of carrying around this idea that I'm disgusting and that's who I've become. It may have started with like me trying to make sense of my pecking order. And I've heard my parents in the past say this. So you can see where your brain makes these leaps. And it says, yeah, like you've gained weight. That must mean this. Because that's what I heard in the past. But that's all that happened. Your brain made a leap. It didn't mean that it went to the right leap. It just meant it went to one. So now you need to decide like, what does this weight gain mean about you?
Are you asking me that?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I know. I know. It, you never can tell with me. So go ahead.
What does this mean about me? I gained my weight. I gained 80 pounds over the course of a year when I was 21 to 22.
Okay.
When I was in like the deepest depression of my life and basically lived on my parents' couch for a year.
Okay.
So that, and I went up to 225 pounds. And interestingly enough, for the past 8 years, I've been between like 165 and 185. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize, I didn't remember that I'd gone up all the way up to 225 pounds and I had kept off all that weight between 225 and 185. For 8 years, I was just like beating myself up until I joined the tribe because I was beating myself up because like, well, I should never have been that weight in the first place. So when I look at it, I look at like a lot of depression and misery and I got lazy and weak. Weakness
mm-hmm.
is like the big thing that comes up for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you want your current weight though to mean about you?
I want it to mean that I got some room to work on myself and that to be exciting and an exciting adventure.
Yeah. Rather than I've become one of them or whatever it was. Testing, I've become one.
Yeah. Because that makes me feel like I can't do anything about it. But if I kind of change it to like working on myself and like it's a great opportunity because I've taken, you know, I came out of that depression. I have an amazing marriage for 5 years. I quit my corporate job to like build my own business. Like I'm doing it, but I'm still, you know, overweight. So it feels like if I can improve my life in other areas and even lose, go from 225 to 185, then I can do anything.
Yeah.
And that's what I want it to mean.
Well, and that's what you have to keep telling yourself that it means.
Yeah.
Because you're going to need to combat the current story you have. What's happening is that disgusting story is like down in there. And so when you go on these weekends and you're around the people that started the story, then no wonder when you come home, you want relief from food. It's because it's kind of been like, you know, I don't really think of myself actively as disgusting, but when I'm around the people that had those thoughts in the past and stuff, my brain is probably thinking, this must be what they're thinking. This must be what they're thinking. Right. You don't know what they're thinking. They may be worried about their own body image. Who knows? Or they may be thinking, oh my God, you know, every time she's been overweight, there's been a health problem. Like, I'm just going to tell you from a mother's perspective, if the only a couple times that you've had big weight problems has been when you've been severely depressed laying on a couch or when you've had to like be on medication that shoots your weight up and that kind of stuff, your mom, if your brain can leap to her thoughts about being disgusting, I can't even imagine what your mom's brain likes to do. It probably creates an amazing story of how this must be so hard on her. I don't want her to be depressed. I've heard overweight people get depressed. Who knows?
Yeah, no, you're so right. And my mom's thoughts, sometimes when I'm thinking like, I wonder what my mom's thinking, those are sometimes like the most terrifying things for me to confront. But the way you described it, like that probably is what she's thinking if I know my mom. And why not believe that rather than believe like she hates me?
Right.
I don't even think that's true.
Well, but and this is why I think it's important first to reconcile how you're thinking and taking ownership of what you currently think. Because before you get into someone else's brain and you start trying to change what you think they're thinking, like by perspective dropping. This is what we're doing with your mom. We're dropping in and trying to look at this through like a whole new lens of what she could be thinking without our own drama. Because like until you own that you think you're disgusting, then you can't even have another perspective for her yet. Because you'll be looking at it through the old, like, this must be what she's thinking. So I know it's kind of complicated, but I will just say this. Think about, like, who are the people you actually care about their opinion? And then do the same thing, like, what could they be thinking? Like, if they thought my weight was a problem, what could they also be thinking that would give you some compassion for them? Rather than they must think I'm disgusting. The other people, you know, like you don't really need to change their opinion because they're irrelevant to begin with. It's probably your mom. Is it your dad?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's like the people you love, that's the people that matter the most of like assuming like there could be a whole nother story here I'm not even considering. Especially if there's a whole nother story in your own damn brain that you're not even considering, likely that other people have one too. Especially since we're just guessing at what their opinions are.
No, thank you. This has been incredibly enlightening. I really appreciate that.
Just like try to do that. But on the binge part of it, I will tell you, you'll get so much more traction if you'll go home prepared for knowing that it's kind of a habit for you to go home and want to decompress. And if you're going to binge, I always tell people, like, before you do it, sit down with a piece of paper and be like, if I'm going to choose to binge, I'm at least going to know what it's all about. Like, write it out. Like, I spent the weekend thinking everybody thought I was disgusting. Like, go through it so that you get some relief first from your thoughts. Then you can ask yourself, is this worth binging over? And just okay. See, that's just one pause that might be able to work.
No, I love, because I have actually been, I heard you talk about planned binges and everything. So I've been trying to be like, okay, well, what if I do the thing where I get everything out? And I just planned on doing that. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, I'm always like, no, I'm fine. I'm not going to binge. And, you know, I get home and I'm straight into the refrigerator. So if I instead sit down with a piece of paper first, yeah, I think that could be really telling because I feel so, I've been doing TDLs every day and I feel so much relief after I do them.
Yes. Yes. So right. Yeah. I think for you, it's just a lot of like as long as you're doing TDLs, you're going to be just fine because it's just unwinding. You said you're a June baby.
I am.
So y'all are just kind of really starting to get into the thought work stuff. It's going to be for you unwinding the story you've been telling as like, I want you to watch your video again because you tell it as if, I know why I'm doing it. It's because of these things. And it's like, but that is not why you're doing it now. Now we're doing it because of everything that we think about some circumstances from the past. And that's all on me now. And when you really step into that and just like, okay. I don't have to rewrite my past. I don't have to go back to the future and figure things out. I don't have to do like drop into other people's brains and figure out what they're thinking. Like I don't have to do that stuff anymore. I can just start changing how I'm thinking. And that is always very powerful. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much, Corinne.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
All right, Kat, you're next. Hello. Oops. I got it.
Good?
Yes. Yes. What are we coaching on?
All right. So I have very poor body image issues. Stems from several things with lovely help from myself reinforcing it all. From the abuses that I have dealt with growing up, even as an adult, and a very special problem. I relate myself to being transgender.
Okay.
So female relating to male. I've never had surgery. I don't plan on it. But my brain sees something totally different when I think of myself.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But I mean, that's most people though, right?
I don't know. I just know that this is me.
It's everyone.
But like when I shut my eyes, I see a man. I don't see a female. I just have the thoughts that I have. Go ahead.
And well, like, tell me the problem though.
It doesn't match up to what's in the mirror. I very rarely look in the mirror. I keep it covered when I'm in the bathroom taking a shower, brushing my teeth.
Do you not like seeing a female in the mirror?
I don't know. I've never really thought of that.
That's what we need to think about. Let me just tell you this. What do you think is the difference between you who, like, on the inside, I feel like a man, and when on the outside, what I see is not matching up, versus the person on the inside who says, I feel like an amazing woman and loved and whatever. And then when I look in the mirror, I just see like disgust. Is there any difference?
I think overall, it's just my thoughts. I don't think of myself in a positive way.
Yeah.
I try, but I don't.
I think the first thing I would work on is thinking that what I envision in my mind and what I see is a problem, might not be a problem.
Okay.
It's something to solve.
Okay.
Like, I think you're thinking that this has to be painful. And I want to invite you to think about, if it wasn't painful, what would you be doing? Like, when you look in, like, would you look in the mirror if it wasn't going to be painful?
I haven't looked in the mirror since I was probably in my 20s. Like, truly looked in the mirror.
But let's just pretend we're going to look in the mirror. Let's just say that you're going to, like, go look in the mirror in 10 minutes. But it's not going to be painful. You're just going to look in the mirror. Right. What would you be doing?
Staring, wondering. Like, why it's taking so long, I guess.
Yeah. And tell me this, what makes it painful?
I don't think of myself as pretty or beautiful or anything. I actually posted about that in Tribe. And like, I'm working on it. It's a thought that I'm working on, but
it's only thoughts though.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to get you to.
Mm-hmm.
It's just your thoughts though.
Yes.
They feel like, I want you to practice before you start coming up with amazing thoughts about yourself and all these things and stuff. I want you to first just reconcile. The only thing causing me pain at this point are the thoughts that I keep practicing. That's literally the only thing that is happening.
Okay.
And it only feels painful because of those sentences.
Right.
It's not because it is. Because if it was truly painful, no one would ever look in a mirror.
Right.
No one. And I want everyone to listen to this, because so many of you will not look at yourself in the mirror. I can't tell you how many times I avoid looking in the mirror sometimes, because I know of what I'm going to think about myself.
Right. But so it's not just the mirror. It's constant.
Yeah.
It's constant.
So what do you think you have to do?
I have to change my thoughts, first of all. I should write them down. Probably counter them, positives.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Probably going to have to look in the mirror.
That too.
Then you know what's going to happen?
No.
It's going to be super painful.
Yeah. I know.
You know why?
No.
Default thoughts will come up.
True.
It won't be because it is painful. Right. It won't be because there's something wrong with you. It won't be for anything other than you haven't done it and you're going to do it, and your brain is going to like word vomit everything that it's used to telling itself for, you know, how old are you?
40.
For as many years as you can remember.
Right.
That's it. Now, you can, like, practice some thoughts to, like, be ready for it, but I will promise you, the second you look, this is for all of you. We've got so many in here that, like, can't look at themselves because, like, maintenance girls, because of loose skin. I've coached Missy several, she's lost over 150 pounds.
Right.
It's not like looking at herself naked.
Right.
It's a reminder that she'll never have the body she wanted. It's kind of like when you look in the mirror, if you're not going to, like, you know, if you identify as a man and you see a woman, what is it going to be a reminder of?
That I'm not changing, like I'm not transitioning, that it's kind of, for me, it's kind of permanent. Like I'm not, I have no plans to transition. And I think I know I have to come to terms with this.
Let me ask you this. So I'm just curious. I mean, I'm just going to tell you, I have no specialty in this. So I'm just asking questions.
Right.
This transition, like, what does that mean to you? Like, what is the definition of transition for you?
It would be a physical change from female to male. So they would take out all the female parts, put on the male parts. It is many surgeries. It's very painful.
Okay, so you just have to do that. Just like
I'm not doing that. Just the only reason is because of the pain. I'm a baby with pain.
Well, let me just tell you, like, that's a good reason. A lot of the girls that lose a lot of weight will never have skin surgery because it's a fucking painful process, and you're opening yourself up for wounds left and right. Trust me.
Well, I see a doctor at my doctor's office in weight management, and she had brought up the loose skin because I'm starting to get some, because I've lost 65 pounds and lots of thought work.
You're doing so good. Like, our calls have been amazing. And then just to watch you that one time when I challenged you to get out into the tribe, and then, like, well, that bird flew right out the nest. I didn't even have to push. I'm just like, my baby left. Well, let's go back to transitioning. So this is such a good topic. What if you're deaf? Like, you keep saying it's painful because I know I'm not transitioning. I don't, like, basically, I don't know if you actually said it, but it's almost like, would you agree? I don't get to be who I want to be.
Yes.
Is that true?
No.
Yes. Let's let your brain cramp on that for a little bit about, like, just because you're not going to have a surgery, does that equal Kat doesn't get to be who she wants to be?
See, I think I can be who I want to be, just not physically. I think I need to change my thoughts and just.
But how often are you telling yourself, I get to be whoever I want to be? I just decided that physically I'm not doing that.
Right.
So, I mean, at any point, if that is who you wanted to be, you could do it. You just decided, like, whoa, that's like pain, and I am not willing to pay that price.
Right.
Which is totally up to you. That is not you not being, like, I want you to think about the difference between the two thoughts. You are choosing not to have surgery versus I don't get to be who I want to be.
Right.
I think you're in such a very important place in your life right now where you are going to have to do a lot of work on every bit of everything from this point on now has nothing to do with anything that's ever happened to you. That it really now is all you. Your happiness, your sadness, your fears, your pain, your joy, who you decide to be, where you go from now on, you don't get to be a victim anymore.
Right.
You're too smart for it now.
I am, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
So if you don't look in the mirror, don't tell yourself it's because it's weird or because of your past or because you don't get to be who you want to be or anything like that. Say, like, you know the reason I'm not looking in the mirror? Because I've decided not to look into a mirror. And the day that I decide that I want to look in the mirror will be the day I do that. And we normalize and we quit dramatizing it. And I think for you, that's going to be huge, because one of the things that I do know about people who are victims is you get so used to the drama And then you create the drama in the areas where it doesn't even need to be.
Right.
But it's like you get, your brain is so wired for it because it protected you for so long.
Yeah.
And now it doesn't protect you anymore. Right. It's just on repeat.
Right. Yeah, I've done that in the past. I think maybe within like the past 2 or 3 years, I've stopped. And yeah. Now I like to live quietly, peacefully. Those are like my go-to feelings. Like when I want quiet, like I just peaceful. That's what I want.
Yeah. And the nice thing is you can do it with your brain.
Yeah. Sometimes I have those moments and it's nice.
Yeah. And you'll get more of them the more you practice it. And the more you start looking at like things like your brain will quiet down about your body image when you quit telling yourself you can't be who you want to be.
Right.
Did you choose who you are?
Okay.
Also, do you listen to Brooke's podcast, The Life Coach School?
Not. I have it on my phone, but I haven't really like listened to it a lot.
I want you to start at episode one and listen through. I'm re-listening, just so everybody knows, every podcast. She's only got like 200 and something. I want you to listen to, there's one called Vulnerability versus Victim Mentality.
Okay.
But it's in, hang on, I've got to pull up her podcast. It's like taking me back to the very beginning again. Starts at number one, and then it's like the fifth one or something like that. I want you to just listen to 1 through 10.
1 through 10, okay.
Yeah. They're really good. They're like the baseline of everything that I teach.
Okay.
From somebody else.
Right.
I think that you're in such a good place in terms of like super absorb your brain with the change that you're wanting to see in yourself. Like you become like your new best hobby.
Right.
All right. Well, good call.
Thank you.
You let me know the first time you look in a mirror.
I will.
Like tell yourself like, this is what I'm going to think. And the minute you get in the mirror, you're like, then be like, this is just thoughts.
right. I will message support.
There you go. You'll have to. Cause like all these hussies tag me all the time. I go in and my notifications, they just stay blowed out at all times. I'm like
I will do something. I will tag you if it's something really important, but that's about it.
Yeah. Well, I don't mind everybody tagging me. It's just funny though. It's like, I always feel like a squirrel that found a nut whenever I find something that I actually was like, oh yeah, I wanted them to tag me. Like lucky day. Yeah. So, all right, lady. Good call.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Let's see. Who else is, we had Lori. You're next. Make sure your hands only raise if you, I think the last person is Kate Korsak. Yeah, I see. Okay.
Hi.
Hey. Hello, what are we coaching on?
So I joined in January.
Awesome.
And I think I'm a big old failure because I weigh more now than I've ever gained in my life.
And that makes you a failure?
What's that?
That makes you a failure?
In my mind.
Is that helpful?
No.
Yeah, so quit thinking that. All right, now move along.
Okay. I'm finding myself eating more sweets than I've ever been eating.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think what it is because like many of us, I've been on diets my whole life, and the ones that... when I looked in the past, the ones that would work for me are restriction. And so
every diet that works is restriction. Every single diet, even include every diet. I'm going to get off on my restriction tangent real quick. Every single diet that works has restriction in the action line. Just like in order for you to lose weight, you can't eat. You can't overeat. That's restriction. You can't just eat hamburgers and cheeseburgers every night and be like, I don't know why I'm not losing weight. I wrote cheeseburgers and chocolate on my 24-hour plan. Like that piece of paper is done. At some point, we have to restrict ourselves. from shit that makes us break out in fat. We're allergic to some stuff. Like unlimited quantities of chocolate would be one. Mm-hmm. All right, go ahead.
Something in my mind, and this is where I need the help. I feel like I'm defective. Like this plan has worked for other people and it's worked for you, but for some reason I'm this uniquely defective person who it won't work for.
Okay, so tell me how many 24-hour plans you've done since January.
Since January, I've done like out of a month, probably 20 per month.
Okay, so let's do the math.
Okay.
I want to see how defective you are.
Okay.
All right, so we have a calculator. January through June is what, 6 months?
Yes.
And let's just say there's 30 days. That's 1,800 opportunities to do a 24-hour plan.
Okay.
And then in 6 months, you did 20.
No, I've done 20 per month.
20 per month, all right. So that we would multiply, what, 20 times 6? Yes. I think it's supposed to be 180 plans, right? Yeah.
Right,
180 plans. All right. You did 120. So 120 divided by 180. So 66% of the time, you've done plans. And you want weight loss when you're just barely over half the time doing it, saying, all right, now I'm defective. Mm-hmm. Of those 20 that you did, how many of those did you eat on plan?
That's the problem. That's one of the problems. I'd say
defective.
I'd say 30%.
Okay.
30% I actually
don't know how to do that math, but I'm going to tell you right now, this has nothing to do with Lori being defective. You know what this has to do with?
What?
Lori needs to be doing 180 24-hour plans, figuring out when she's overeating what that's about so that she can reduce the number of overeats. Not Lori does 24-hour plans until she gets an ass full of herself. And then decides not to, and then probably in those 10 days, are you face down or are you like doing really well? Those 10 days of no plans.
Face down. I'm not doing really well.
So that's not you being defective. You know what that is?
What?
You're not following the plan.
That's why I feel like I'm defective, because for some reason I can't.
What do you make it mean though when you're overeating?
Oh,
I'm a failure, which is the first word that came out of your mouth.
Right, that, but also when I'm overeating, and that's the other thing I had said was, I didn't say it to you, but I put in my email. I feel like I can't eat 2 to 2. Like I'm going from a person who, without external restriction, I can't do it. And so then overnight, somehow I'm supposed to just eat 2 to 2 and lose weight. But I can't do it.
Why is it overnight? Where did I say, here's your 2 to 2 lesson, now overnight you're supposed to be doing it?
You didn't, but I did.
Right.
I'm wanting that relief. I'm wanting to see the scale move the other way, even one day.
Yeah, it will if you give yourself some time to let 2 to 2 work versus, oh my God, I'm defective. I'm a failure. This is supposed to work overnight. Where are all my results?
But that's where I have the problem, and I can't do it. That's why I feel like a failure. Like
you're not feeling like a failure because you can't do it. You're feeling like a failure because you keep telling yourself you can't do it. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Like, how old are you?
54.
If I told you that as of tomorrow, you have a cancer that's going to kill you in a year unless you lose 30 pounds. Could you lose weight?
Yes.
Or would you be like, well, I guess I'm checking out.
I would hope I could.
No, I'm being serious. Okay. Are you married?
Yep.
If your husband's life was on a line, like within a year, if you didn't lose your weight, the God said, I'm going to take your husband away. That's how I roll now. I'm Old Testament. Would you lose weight to keep him? Or would you be like, well, fuck you, man, you're out. I got to keep eating chocolate.
I would like to say I would do it. And I would hope I would do it. But
let me ask
that's
you.
That's my fear.
Right. You are letting your current thoughts run you. I want you to be honest. If your husband's like, do you have children?
I do.
Who do you love the most in the world? If you had to pick one kid, who would it be?
Oh, I can't pick one.
Okay, so then all of them. Who are they? Give me their names.
Garrett and Wesley.
Garrett and Wesley, do they have kids?
Garrett has a baby girl, Emma.
Would you literally tell me, and I want you to be really honest with yourself, okay, if their life was on the line between you losing weight or they die?
I'm going to lose the weight.
Exactly. And you know the only thing that changes?
What?
You think you can do it at that point. But you keep selling yourself on the idea you can't do this. And when you sell yourself on the idea you can't do this, guess what you do? You're like, well, that 2-2 thing, I don't know, I'm kind of defective. Like, I don't know about that. I did it for like a day, or I do it for 20 days and I kind of do it and stuff. That's not really doing it. Mm-hmm. You're going to need to overcome feeling bad about yourself to lose weight. You're not going to need to overcome being hungry. You're not going to need to overcome writing down your plan. You're going to need to overcome not liking yourself in the moment and thinking it's not going to work and doing it anyway. That is the only way you're going to lose weight. Because I guarantee you, if I put a gun to Garrett's head and said you had to lose weight, you wouldn't like yourself and you'd lose weight. You doubt yourself up, like, I really hope I can do this. Oh my God, I forgot his life's on the line. I'm going to do this. You'd have every same fear and doubt, but you would deprioritize them to do what you said you would do. The only problem right now is you're waiting for your own mortality motivation or something drastic to happen to make you step up and say, like, you know what? There's going to be moments where I'm not going to like myself. That's not a good enough excuse to quit anymore.
That's true.
We only ever quit for one reason.
What's that?
We decide that we want relief from our own thinking. I'm going to tell you, every single person that leaves this tribe, every single person that quits on their 2-2, every single person that quits on the 24-hour plan does it because they have a thought about what this means about themselves as a person. It's never, you started off with the king ding dong. I am a failure. You truly believe you're a failure. You're going to need to lose weight believing you're a failure until you prove yourself wrong.
Okay, that's good.
So let me ask you this. Like, okay, this week, or let's say that to the end of the month, you were going to practice 2-2, which is very different than it coming overnight. I love the way you said it. I was like, what? Did I put that in the video? I need to reshoot that.
Yeah, but don't put me in charge of your video.
This is what I want you to switch your thought from. Rather than, I can't do 2-2. Just because you haven't done it yet doesn't mean you can't, which is a big difference. It means I haven't learned it yet.
Okay.
I haven't done it long enough. Most of the people that have lost, I don't know, a good 50 pounds with me, still struggle with their 2-2. Oh. The reason why they lose so much weight is because they keep paying attention to it and they get better and better at finding it. And sometimes they don't do it and sometimes they do, but they start collecting more days that they're doing it than they're not doing it. Everybody that loses 50 pounds, they will tell you, like, the majority of them actually do all the 24-hour plans. They may miss one or two here and there, but they do them. But there's a good percentage of them that aren't followed. But rather than quitting on the 24-hour plan simply because they didn't follow it and they don't like their self-judgment about it, they get back on the horse the next day, they make another one, and they ask themselves, what was going on? Is there something I need to be doing different? You're making the four basics a problem with Lori.
Yes.
There's something wrong with me, rather than Lori has process problems. Lori has not practiced 2-2 long enough to really understand the 2-2. So it's like, all right, if it's a process problem for me, this week what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick one or the other. Am I starting with the negative or am I going with the positive? But one of them, this week, that's all I'm focusing on. I'm going to nail one side of it. Doesn't mean you'll do it perfectly from here on out, but by the end of 7 days of really paying attention, like which one would you pick? Would you rather wait until you're hungry to eat or would you rather stop when you're satisfied?
Probably stop when I'm satisfied.
Okay. So like imagine if you had spent since January to now just being crazy obsessed with stopping when you're satisfied, no matter what you had chose to eat. Do you think you might have lost weight?
Oh, yeah, I would have lost weight.
With one
probably out
of all the basics, and they all have all kinds of little variations you could pick. But the only people that do that are the people who don't think they're a failure. The people who do that think, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to figure it out. I'm not going to sit and self-deprecate and self-loathe anymore about this. That's such a waste of my time. I'm done living my life like an asshole to myself.
So the other thing that I keep thinking is, because like in the past, if I did Weight Watchers, let's say, I didn't ever lose a lot of weight on Weight Watchers. I only have lost weight when I've been on a restrictive, as in what I can eat type of plan.
Okay.
And so that's the other thing that's coming into play is, how can I possibly lose weight if I just come back? I won't lose it. I have to be restrictive. I have to not have anything. I have to do all these things.
But you assume you know that's true.
Correct. I do. That's what I assume.
Yeah. What if your assumption is completely wrong and you just keep wasting time playing with your assumptions rather than like just doing something to see if this works? I mean, I just like a shortcut. I don't know about you. But I like to like do things the fastest way possible. And the fastest way for you to lose weight is to quit diddling in assumption land and thinking about it and wondering about it and feeling terrible about it and being like, oh, what if I just do this and quit pretending like there's some other answer? I don't really know. I've never done it this way. And also you could quit telling yourself the lie. The only way I've ever lost weight is through restriction. Not really, or you wouldn't be here now.
And I wouldn't be fatter than I've ever been. So that didn't work so well, did it?
That restriction stuff kind of bit you straight in the ass. And yet you keep telling yourself it's the only way to go.
That's very funny. And very true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it works real well, doesn't it? That's why I'm sitting here saying, oh, yeah, I'm fatter than ever.
I love it when we argue for something we believe's true that sucks. It's like, no, I'm just telling you. And it's like, okay, let's not even believe that anymore. Here's what I would love for you to do. I would love for you to make yourself a really realistic 24-hour plan through the end of the month and agree that you will not give up on yourself.
I can do that.
And here's how you don't give up yourself. The second you doubt, I'm going to tell you, you're going to feel like, I don't know if you feel amazing, but you're at least going to feel like some clarity came over you from this call. Mm-hmm. And you're going to get off and you're going to go straight back to your old thinking.
You're right. That's probably true.
Oh, it is true. All of us. Kat's going to get off here and all the crap's going to come up. Everybody that's on this call, everything's going to come back. The reason why is because your brain's already conditioned to think that way. Like, I give enlightenment and a new perspective. It's up to you guys to go act in a different way now.
That's the problem I'm having.
Yeah. Well, now you just get to go act in the new way and you get to bring all your shitty thoughts along with it, knowing they're not true now. The only difference is that you have to decide that is the stuff I've been thinking. I'm not going to argue for my truth anymore and stall my results. I am done with that part of it. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a really realistic plan. If I want fucking chocolate, it better be on the damn plan. Otherwise, I'm not eating it. And I'm not going to buy into the idea that I need to do restriction in order to lose weight, because that's more likely to push me into breaking plans. And the surefire way to not lose weight is to eat against myself, to eat behind my own back and to go face down in chocolate because I think I'm a failure. That's a recipe for disaster. I'm not cooking that cake anymore.
You must be following me. You know what I'm doing.
You're like so many of us. I had the same recipe for disaster for years. That's why I know. So I just want you to like make the realistic plan and just be like, all right, I'm going to want chocolate tomorrow. There's some chocolate on the plan. And I'm going to pay really close attention this month to the plus two side. I'll eat the plan plus two. It is so much better than what you're doing now, which is the only thing that's happening is you're proving to yourself that you're a half-asser.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Because the more you half-ass it, the more you just create the habit of half-assing. And then you get frustrated because you want the full ass.
That's true. Maybe I should just come be your roommate for like 2 months.
Everybody thinks that would be pleasant. It would not.
Right. That would not be pleasant.
Not be pleasant. It would be way boring too, because all we do is we sit in this little office and all day long. And we get hungry. Like I'm starving right now. But I want you to like cut yourself some slack.
Okay.
Go back through the no BS, please.
I am doing that.
Good. And I really want you to pay attention to module 4, the thought download stuff. I want you to get smarter at noticing when you're telling yourself some real bullshit.
So if I do this plan that's realistic and I do it and it includes chocolate, and let's just say I do that and I don't lose weight, then how do I ever get losing weight?
Eventually what happens is that when you get to where you're planning it, right now when you eat chocolate, are you like in the moment going, you know, you're never going to lose weight doing this. I don't think this matches up with your plan. Is any of that happening? Or is it just like, fuck it. Like I've done screwed up like 20 of them. I might as well just eat. And then 10 days later you wake up going, oh shit, I should do these plans again.
Probably more the first than the last. So.
Okay. So give me an example of when you're eating chocolate, what happens? Like the moment before
I eat the chocolate.
Yeah, tell me about an overeat. What happens?
All right. Overeats are always triggered for me, not by being hungry. They are triggered by stress.
Okay.
So I'm stressed out. I've been dealing with a client. I've been doing something. I come home because I'm a lawyer, and so all day long. Then it'd be when I come home and I'm tapped out and there's chocolate, and I want this relief in my head. Oh, I'm going to have some chocolate. I'll just have a piece.
Okay.
And sometimes I'll think, oh, Lori, that wasn't on your plan. Or sometimes it will have been written on my plan.
All right, so the days you don't have it on your plan, though, is what I'm interested in.
Okay, days I don't have it on my plan, then I just think, okay, I'm just going to eat this anyway. I don't care. I'll eat it. And tomorrow I'll have that plan. I'll put it on my plan tomorrow.
Okay, so you're not doing what I said. You're totally, not doing what I said. Okay. So here's the realistic plan.
Okay.
How much chocolate do you eat?
It would be like a half of a candy bar, let's say.
That's the only thing going on in your whole diet life in the last six months, a half a candy bar every now and then.
Oh, God, no. No.
So give me something that's like super like, Corinne, this shit has to stop.
All right. Peanut butter.
Okay.
Peanut butter. Come in, get a scoop of peanut butter. Get another scoop of peanut butter. Get another scoop of peanut butter. It could be that I'll have 12 tablespoons of peanut butter in a day.
Okay.
That's probably more of the realistic. Sometimes then I'll add the chocolate with the peanut butter.
Okay.
But it's usually peanut butter.
Okay. So here's your plan. You need to write down peanut butter, 12 tablespoons every day.
Okay.
And it Right. But you're doing it. I love it when people do this. Like now your realistic plan is 12 tablespoons of peanut butter. It's like, that's the problem. This is not you when you come home. Stressful day. Peanut butter. That's not you. This is you like, fuck this. Wait, this has been, I'm going to start this shit tomorrow. Like, I'm going to eat this mess. That's the difference. The realistic plan makes you like breathe in and think you're drowning. Because you're going to go in and you're going to be like, whoa, 12 tablespoons. So fucking shit right there. We better get to eating. And you're going to do it. And the whole time you're eating it, when it's on the plan, your brain freaks out. Because when you're eating on the plan, you're using your conscious brain.
Okay,
the conscious brain, guess what lives there?
In the conscious brain, what lives there? Judgment.
No, that's your unconscious brain.
Okay.
So you're choosing, you're like, no, it's judgment. I'm choosing all the judgment. No, here's where your conscious brain has. It stores your goals, your dreams, and your desires. The only way for dreams, goals, and desires to ever be achieved is the use of the conscious brain. The unconscious brain does not do that. It keeps you breathing. It does judgment to keep you out of trouble. It's like, oh my God, you've been using your conscious brain all day, lawyer. Like, you're tapped. We should just sit back and eat peanut butter.
Mm.
Then judgment comes in afterward, and then you've got like, what has happened? See, I didn't think your judgment was coming in the beginning. You told your story. You told on yourself. You thought it was coming in first. No. It only comes in judgment, like, and it's not even judgment. It's questioning. It's like your brain makes a connection between, I want to be the person who loses weight. I'm face down in peanut butter. I think there's cognitive dissonance. Something's going wrong here. That's the reasoning brain. And it says, girl, you're never going to lose weight doing this. What are you doing?
Uh-huh.
That happens because you told me the only time that happens is when you actually have it's on your plan. What are you doing? That's what we want. I would rather you overeat and it be on a plan so that you have a moment of sanity where your goals are like, what are you doing? We have goals. What you're trading in to say, like, I'm not going to make a plan so that I can face down in peanut butter and judge myself. Mm-hmm. My goals never even got a say in it. I'm just cutting their ass out. Why bother?
Yes, that's what's happening.
I promise you, like, the first time those 12 tablespoons are on the plan with a half a candy bar as the vessel to get into your mouth.
Yes.
You're like, get out the peanut butter and you get out the thing because, like, oh Lord, it's the plan. First couple of bites are fun. And then all of a sudden it's like, really? Is this what we're going to be doing? Like, then your goals start coming into mind. You may not feel amazing, but I don't want you to feel amazing. I want you to feel sober. I don't want you to feel good and happy and all this other stuff. I want you to be like aware, sober, a little disappointed that you think peanut butter fixes a hard day. And then I want you to get to the point where it's like, that is some, what the real bullshit is that I keep throwing away the 24-hour plan rather than throwing away the peanut butter. The one thing that can solve my dreams and my problems, I decide to set it aside and I just keep the jar and the candy bar spoon. And that will be the change.
When you said the sober, I have a friend who's dealing with alcohol and I thought, I'm doing the same thing, except it's not alcohol.
Yeah.
It's peanut butter. It's chocolate. It's the combo.
You're like drunk on love with that peanut butter. But that's how that realistic plan really works. That's why, like, for the short term, you are trading in weight loss for getting really aware of what the real problem in your life is. You're trading in, like, this fake story that you have that I can't lose weight, I'm defective, I'm all these things. It's like, no, you're not, like, doing what you know you can do. And part of you getting to that point is understanding the behaviors you have in a very realistic way. Eating the peanut butter will not feel relieving anymore. Right now, the way you're doing it, it does provide relief until it stops. Mm-hmm. And then you have your shame that you have to deal with.
Yep.
What I am doing is like, I want you to have the peanut butter on your plan, and it doesn't provide relief anymore. It kicks up judgment, and it kicks up the, like, the resistance in your body of like, this goes against everything I know I really want for myself. Like, maybe I should start dealing with having a bad day with, like, my brain. I mean, you're a damn lawyer. You got a good brain.
I got a good brain.
We know we can use it for this.
I'm a very
logical. The best. Y'all are good arguers. We just need you to argue for yourself now.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I could argue for someone else. And I could rationalize and reason. Just, yeah.
Yeah, and now I need you to rationalize and reason for your goals and not rationalize and reason for your weaknesses.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
You can do this, and we won't even have to kill Garrett.
Yeah, we don't want to kill Garrett.
And you can say, next time you see him, he's like, baby, saved your life.
He's like, Mom.
Ready to come at you.
Yeah, you'd say, what goofy program are you on now?
Or they put a target over your children's heads.
Now when I see them, I'm going to think that.
Oh. There you go. All right. Well, thank you for a good call and being so honest.
Thank you very much. I was so thrilled to get to be able to do this. It made my day. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
That was a good call. God, Kathy, we need to mark that one. All right. That was a good one. Especially the back half of that one. It took me a little bit to get there, but I got there. Blue!
Blue.
What are we coaching on?
So I was the teacher you coached in May about my thinking, and you totally changed my life. Like, I started TDLing in the morning and at dismissal, and I can recognize the I'm not good enoughs, and I'm having a fabulous summer because I'm getting rid of the shoulds in my vocabulary and just embracing I'm just having fun and enjoying life. So I'm at like a new part of my weight loss, which is good.
Yeah, that's good news for me.
I'm not even I don't even grab ass anymore, because every time I go to grab ass, I think about you telling me it's a stupid habit that I'm trying to turn off my brain, and I don't even do it. So
awesome.
I've lost 15 pounds since joining in April.
Awesome. And
I'm struggling though at this point with my plus two. And I listened to, I guess, your podcast. And you had the 5 questions to journal about. Mm-hmm. And the one that struck out to me was, what if I'm not allowed to overeat? What would my life look like? And I literally froze because I'm struggling with that question. And I realized that's what's kind of blocking me from losing my weight. Like, I feel like if I can master that plus two, weight loss will be easier.
Well, just answer the question. Like, what comes to mind? Like, if you couldn't overeat, this is what this question. So, for most of us, if the overeating's taken away, then we make it mean life's going to be boring. Like, I'm not going to like have a social life. Like, all of these things come up. So where does your brain go?
Well, I did 2 TDLs. I did one like the negative stuff, and then I tried to do the positive part. So the negative, a lot of it was here's the negative, that I'm going to miss out on the food I like, because I'm finding my plus two is just, I'm putting all the food that I want to eat on my plan, but when I hit my plus two, I'm not even getting to a portion of the food. So I guess I'm feeling sad that I'm not going to miss out on that. And food has been like a relaxation. So how am I going to relax without food? Like,
okay, so let's answer that question. How are you going to relax? If it's going to take significantly less food,
yes.
Then how are you going to, because right now what you're saying is like, I can't relax without the food.
Right. Well, I've been doing okay on that. Actually, it's more, I'm just missing out on eating food. Like, I miss, like at dinner when I hit my plus two, I'm sad because I can't eat anymore.
Well, then why don't you just be sad for a little bit?
Okay.
Like, this is the thing. I think a lot of you want to be like, well, I just want that magic thought where I'm going to stop at my plus two and not miss anymore. You're going to miss it.
Okay.
And why are you sad?
Because I like the food. It makes me happy.
But that's the problem. Your thought is that food's making you happy. What's making you happy?
Well, I guess I struggle the most when everyone's at the table with me, like the whole family's eating together.
Yeah, but like, I want you to, like, this is so important. And because you do thought downloads, you're going to really get this. Like, tell me, like, the last dinner that you wanted to eat more. Like, what was on the plate?
It was the watermelon that I ended up eating more of. So I think it was watermelon, and we had burgers, and I like tabbouleh salad.
Okay. And when was this?
Sunday night.
So Sunday night, a hamburger, tabbouleh, watermelon. And who was at the table?
My husband and 3 kids.
Okay. That's your circumstance.
Yes.
That's literally the circumstance.
Yes.
That did not make you happy.
No.
Right?
Right. No, it didn't.
What's between happy and that circumstance?
I don't know. Am I thinking of something?
It's a thought, right.
It's what a thought. What I'm not sure what the thought is, though.
Just take some guesses.
I wish everyone would stop bickering. I wish the kids could just sit down and eat.
Oh, wait a minute. Like, you said happy.
Yes.
That doesn't sound like happy. I wish they'd quit bickering. This thrills me.
I think that might be part of the problem when we're like, then I just start eating so I can just block. I can block them all out. Okay.
So this is important because you've sold yourself on this. Like, I'm going to be sad because the food makes me happy.
Yes.
And then when we boil it down to the circumstance, we're eating extra watermelon because we're tired of their fucking shit.
Yes.
That's not happy.
True.
So.
Like, I knew I was at my plus two, though, and I just kept eating the watermelon.
You kept thinking what?
I really like the watermelon. It's not going to go bad soon. I can eat it. Like, I don't really think. I'm not sure if it's really my plus two.
Right. And that, like, so those thoughts, this is what we call our excuse or justification thoughts. Excuse and justification thoughts, everybody, you ain't gotta like go in there and dig deeper. We don't give a fuck. Like, this is just shit we say to keep eating. But I wanna know why you were eating. Like, why did you want to keep eating? And it's gonna go back to their bickering. I wish they would just quit bickering.
Yes. Because I don't have the problem when I don't eat with them.
Oh my God, your TDO was full of lies. You should have caught yourself. You're not sad about the two.
No, not. You're right. I don't like eating with my family. You can't really fix that.
Yeah, you can.
Just change my thoughts about it.
Yeah, rather than saying, I wish they'd quit bickering, you could be thinking, like, me eating extra watermelon won't stop their bickering.
True.
It's normal to not want them to bicker.
Right.
How old are they?
14, 12, and 9.
Yeah. Kids that age, they're going to, like, I just sit there and laugh my ass off at them. Just be like, you're not going to make me fat. Like, bigger all you want. Mama's stopping at her too.
I still can't find, I just struggle with that too. Is there any like.
You're not struggling with the two. You're telling yourself a bunch of bullshit that you're struggling with the two, mm-hmm. and you're missing the most obvious thing. Like, if you're struggling, you're not struggling with the two at all.
Okay.
You know that when you start saying, I can have some more, it's going to go bad. It's like the second. It's not about like paying attention to your belly and your fullness. And it's about whether it's going to go bad and all this other stuff. You're in justification land. And when you're in justification land, it's like time to stop.
So that's part of my sign like, for two.
Do what?
That's a sign then for my two. When I start saying.
All of you have justifications. All of you have some kind of something that you think in that moment. It's like with me, if I am eating and I suddenly think I need to be on Facebook to see what's going on in the tribe. Like, I know I've hit my two and I'm just wanting to distract while I eat.
Okay, that's, yes. I've done that too when I've eaten by myself.
Yeah. Like, you're not struggling finding your two. You know exactly where your two is. You're just choosing not to stop.
Yes.
Most of you, this is your issue. Y'all will say, like, I don't know about that two. Like, our last caller, I guarantee you, she knows her twos. You know what her problem is? She keeps thinking she's struggling with them.
Well, I don't want to. I think that's, I don't want to stop at it.
Yeah, like, if you just admit the truth, though, and quit saying I struggle with my twos, and you just say, like, I'm figuring out my twos. Oh, if I'm figuring it out, I also mean that I'm going to really pay attention to what's going on. Oh, shit. Like, that's some justifications around some watermelon. Did you do a recovery worksheet on the watermelon?
I did. I think I just did it overall on the dinner.
Yeah. In that, did you come up with your, like, did you notice that you were overeating watermelon?
Yes.
And what were you, did you have your justifications on there?
My justification was I wanted it.
Yeah. That's what, that is, like, guys, I want to tell you with the recovery worksheet, it's really golden. Because a lot of you think, well, I just keep having the same one over and over again. It's like, now, every single time you think I just want it, you need to also say, and that's a clear signal that we are at our plus two. It's just time to stop. It's time to be really uncomfortable. It's time to be antsy and restless and listen to kids bicker and want to stuff my face instead of listening to them bicker. That's the normal part.
Yes. I'm good at the like getting to my negative two. I don't mind waiting out hunger, but when the food's in front of me, I just have a hard time stopping.
Stop saying that you have a hard time. You don't have a hard time stopping.
I don't want
to
stop.
This is what I want you to tell yourself. I'm just choosing not to stop.
I am. Yes.
Like, no more. This is hard. This is my struggle. Y'all quit describing all of this. Like, you know, we are Jesus getting nailed to a cross. Yeah, it's a two.
It's a two.
And we just need to, like, I keep talking about this today. This has been the theme of the day. We need to normalize it. We keep dramatizing it, and it feels so dramatic and so trickery and slippery and struggly and all these other things. Like, we know what's going on. Like, I always tell myself, like, you know what the hell's going on. You're not confused by any of this. You just chose that that watermelon tasted really good, and it tasted way better than listening to these kids bitch.
Yes. Yes.
And when you do that, though, like, when you, like, own that piece.
Yes.
You're like, do I really want to keep eating so I don't have to listen to my kids complain? Like, then you start getting into the real pieces of it. And then the next time it's happening, like, ugh, the last time we overate watermelon. And guess what? They're still complaining. I guess overeating doesn't fix them being a bunch of little assholes right now.
No. No, it won't.
Right. Then you can work on your thoughts about your kids. We'll solve the plus two, and then you can work on, like, maybe my kids are just supposed to argue sometimes and price with mama. Yeah,
that's what I've done a lot of with the whole, like, teaching stuff that really helped. So
I'll start
focusing on my own children too.
Now that you've solved the problems of other people's children.
All right. Well, thanks.
You're welcome. All right. Keep going, lady. You're doing good.
I will. I'm getting there. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Let me see. Jana, are you still here? Shit. I didn't even check the Q&A. Jana, if you're still here, I'll grab you because we wanted to do compelling reason. We're going to just go long, y'all, for anybody who wants to. Ooh, I think she had to get off. I'm so sorry. Let me see if there's a question I need to answer. When I was fat, I had that problem to focus on. As I've lost weight, I've focused on PMP. As I close in on goal, I'm 5 pounds away. Good for you, Kirsten. I want to dream about what's next. I avoid thinking about it and tell myself to be content in the present moment. I hesitate to dream. Being content in the present and dreaming about the future seem to conflict. Both seem good, but it also feels wrong to not strive for a future goal. Where should my focus be? You can do either one. I think there's nothing wrong with dreaming. Most of the time when we don't want to dream, it's like, I want you to be, like, grateful for where you're at now, be present and think about, and all of this and reaffirming how great this is what fuels the future. most of us, what we do is we don't spend enough time, like, this is not good enough. This is not good enough. I need another goal. I need another goal. I need another goal. We don't really take time to appreciate where we're at. It's like, be in this moment, appreciate all of it, and say, and the more that I love this, and the more that I find everything that's right about this and believe in this, is the fuel that's going to carry me to the next dream or goal. Then allow yourself to dream about what you want and don't be attached to any of it. Just be like, you know what? I'm just going to dream for a few weeks. I'm just going to be thinking about the next thing for me. I'm going to come up with ideas. And none of it has to be done right now. It's just, I'm aware of this and I'm also using it as fuel to create for the future. I do still write a plan every day. Somebody asked. I struggle so much with the two to two. Stop saying struggling, all of you. I think this one pretty much got answered. At 11 a.m., I thought I might be hungry. She binged yesterday. I went on the clock at 12. I was fine. Now at 1:15, I can't figure out if it's an urge or physical hunger. Should I go on the clock again? I'd really like to eat dinner with my hubby tonight. Do I just wait until 5? You could have a snack if you wanted. Like, here's the idea. Like, if you're struggling with knowing if it's hungry, you're probably not hungry. That's usually what I tell myself. I just go on the clock again. And then what I would do is, if you're like, okay, this is hunger, but I really want to eat dinner at 5 o'clock, I am going to have like plan right now that if at the end of another hour that you are going to be hungry, this is all you get, and make it nice and boring. And be like, and that will be more than enough to carry me through. I struggle with compelling reason. Mine was to be strong when I'm injured. But when I injured my arm, I beat myself up because I'll never get there. How do I find more reasons? You guys, like, this is what I want you to do about the compelling reason. I want you guys to be thinking about, Jana, you are here. I'll grab you. I want you to be thinking about, I'll tell you what, let me stop the video and restart it. And then, Kathy, just so you know, this will be two videos.